السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه. We are discussing certain things or the relationship of Uthman رضي الله عنه's position while Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه was خليفة. So in some reports it says that the one who suggested to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anh that he should make the Hijri year start with Muharram was Uthman radiallahu anh. When they agreed after consultation to make the Islamic calendar start with the Hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because that was the dividing point between truth and falsehood. Opinions were divided as to which month should be regarded as the beginning of the year. So Uthman radiallahu anh said, date the beginning of the year from Muharram, because it is a sacred month and the first of the months in counting. And it is when the people come back from Hajj. Now, before, the Hajj journey was very long. When people are returning, now by the time they come back from Makkah Mukarramah, it will already be Muharram. Umar radiallahu anh and those who were present with him approved of this Rai opinion of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, and thus the matter was settled. The beginning point of the Islamic calendar was decided. So one is first the Umar radiallahu anh and Sahaba radiallahu anh were deciding that from which incident must we start the calendar. So different opinions were given, and eventually it was decided that they will start the calendar from the Hijrat. So ulama mentioned one of the reasons of starting the Islamic calendar from the Hijrat is that the Hijrat, it denotes qurbani, sacrifice. The Muhajirun, they are to leave everything and leave it permanently. For your Hijrat to be complete, even if you later on conquer that land, you don't take back your property. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, even after Fateh Makkah, now when they were the rulers now, right, they came back victorious, they never take anything of theirs. The kuffar that had usurped their homes, their businesses, whatever, they just left it. Didn't take anything. So the hijrat was complete. So they turned their back on family, they turned their back on dunya, on their properties, on their wealth, whatever it was, their hometown, they left everything. And they made hijrat. So hijrat, it is a reminder to the ummah that in order for this deen to come alive, we will have to sacrifice. We will have to move. Sometimes there will be jihad. Sometimes there will be other works of deen. You will have to move. You will have to sacrifice. If you have to give up everything also, you have to give it up for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and this deen of Allah Ta'ala. Jee. Then we come to the Kharaj lands. Uthman radiallahu anh was one of those who supported the view of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh that the conquered lands should not be divided among the conquerors and they should be left as a source of income for the Muslims and their descendants after them. Right? Now this is a whole masla in fiqh. Which lands are regarded as ushar, which lands are regarded as kharaj. Right? It's a whole explanation. But there was an opinion, or at that time a mashwara that was taking place, that these kharaj lands must be divided. That means the army that came now and they fought. So these lands that have been conquered, must it now be given to the individual mujahideen? Or should it be left and an income be derived from there which will go to the Baytul Mal and then that wealth will be used for the broader ummah? Right? So the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu was that it should be left like that. And Uthman radiallahu anh also agreed with this opinion. When Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh became the Khalifa in 13 Hijri, in that same year, he appointed Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anh in charge of Hajj. You know, you have to have an Amir of Hajj, right? Imam of Hajj. So he led the people on Hajj. And he did Hajj with Umar radiallahu anh during Umar radiallahu anhu's last Hajj in 23 Hijri. In that year, Umar radiallahu anh gave permission to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in to perform Hajj. So they all rode in the Hauda. You know, I don't know if I explained to you people, I think a Hauda is like, if you can picture something like a horse cart, small horse cart, but now make it miniature. It's like a little box. And this Hauda was placed on top of a camel. Right? So it was like a box and it had these handles. They had handles in the front and handles in the back. Like a, I don't know if you've seen a bier, what they carry the janaza in. So it has that, those handles. So the people hold those handles. So like that, this box was there and it had these handles. So they used to take this box, the camel is sitting down. The lady will enter the box while no men are there. She will enter the box. And it had like curtains. So she'll draw the curtains. So she is inside, nobody can see her. Right? Then the men will come. They pick this Hauda up and put it onto the camel. The camel is still sitting. Put it on the camel. Right? Then they wake the camel up. Now the camel will stand up and they'll travel like this. When they come to a place where now they are going to, you know, spend the night, So these camels that are carrying the females, the ladies, they will be made to sit at a certain place. A camp will be made there. So a parda will be put around. And then this Hauda will be lifted and left on the floor. And then the men will move away. Right? Then the ladies will come out of that box. So this is a Hauda. So they traveled in these Haudas. And Umar radiallahu anh sent Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anh and Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anh to accompany them. So as they traveled, Uthman radiallahu anh rode in the front of them. The Ummahatul Mu'mineen were all now behind him. He rode in the front. And he would not let anyone come anywhere near them. They stopped at every place to make the journey easy for them, you know, not just going one way. So they stopped at every place. Wherever Umar radiallahu anh stopped, they stopped. Uthman radiallahu anh and Abdul Rahman radiallahu anh would make them stop inside the mountain passes. And the two men would stop at the entrances to the passes so that nobody can come in. How much honor they gave to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, you know? How much respect and honor they gave to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Khair. So this all happened now during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anh. Now we come to the appointment of Uthman radiallahu anh as the Khalif. Right? Umar radiallahu anh's concern remained focused on the unity and the future of the Ummah, even during the last moments of his life. Despite the painful wounds from which he was suffering, you know, he was stabbed, and even in that condition he's worried now, what's going to happen to the Ummah. Undoubtedly, this was a critical moment in history in which his deep iman, ikhlas, and selflessness were manifested. During those critical moments, Umar radiallahu anh managed to invent a new and unprecedented way of choosing the new Khalif. But remember, he had the example of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't choose a khalif. He didn't openly say, so and so must be the khalifa. But what he did, he indicated. He indicated. He mentioned things which pointed to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, the ummah chose Abu Bakr. Unanimously they chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was coming to the end of his life, he consulted with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then he chose the next khalif. He elected Umar radiallahu an as the next, or selected, rather than elected, selected. He chose. He consulted with the Sahaba, he made mashura with them, and then he chose Umar radiallahu an. So there was nobody had to decide after Abu Bakr Renan passed away. It was already chosen, right? The Khalifa was already chosen. Now, Umar radiallahu an could have followed any one of those, right? But he invented a new way. He invented a new way of choosing a khalif. So the method of selecting the new khalif was based on limiting shura to a specific number of people, right? That he's leaving it to the mashwara, but not to the mashwara of every person, because not every person has the capacity to do everything. Sometime the general public, they have an opinion, but that opinion is detrimental. It's not an opinion that will be beneficial, right? So Umar radiallahu an chose 6 sahaba radiallahu anhu. All of whom were fit to be a khalif. Right? Although they varied in their qualifications, etc., each one would have their own strengths, right? But each one could have been the khalifa. So he chose this panel of 6. And he defined the way in which the selection was to be made and how long it must take. He ordered some sahaba to keep watch over the proceedings. And he stipulated punishments for anyone who goes against this jamaat. He sought to prevent disorder by ruling that no one was to enter upon them or listen to what was going on in the assembly of this mashwara. It's a closed shop mashwara. Nobody else must go there. So he chose sahaba to be like guards around them. And leave them there, they must decide. The number of men appointed was 6. Right? Who were the 6? Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Zubair bin Awwam radiallahu an, and Sayyiduna Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala an. So Sa'id bin Zaid bin Nufail was excluded even though he was one of the Ashara Mubashara. But he was excluded. Perhaps that was because he was from the tribe of Banu Adi. And Banu Adi was Umar radiallahu anhu's tribe. So he didn't want it to seem that he's favoring his family members. Right? So he excluded him. Umar radiallahu anhu was very careful to exclude his relatives from positions of authority, even though they may have been qualified for it. He chose somebody else who was also qualified. He didn't put his family members there. So he commanded them that they must assemble in the house of any one of them. They must choose which house. They must assemble there. Abdullah bin Umar, that means Umar Ranaunu's son, Abdullah bin Umar, he must be present there, but only as an advisor. If they want to ask his advice on something, because obviously he lived with his father, right? He knew how his father ran the state. So obviously there would be certain insights that he would have that they won't have. So he said, see, you must be available to them if they need to know anything, they want any advice on anything. But you are just there in an advisory capacity. You cannot be chosen as a khalif, and you cannot make a ruling on anything. You can just give advice. They will make mashwara. They will make the decisions. You cannot, you are not a decision maker. Look at the detail Umar radiallahu anhu went into, despite being stabbed fatally. Right? He then explained that during this time, while they are making mashwara, the Imam of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. He didn't even leave that for anybody to decide. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu must be the Imam. Right? For, and he also said that this selection process must take no more than 3 days. Not now, you can take long to decide. No. 3 days time, you must have a khalif. So Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu is the Imam for 3 days. Right? He didn't appoint any of the six, any one of the six, to be the Imam. Because that would give him an advantage, right? It would seem to the people that Umar radiallahu anhu wants this person to be the Khalif. That's why he made him the Imam. So he didn't make any of them the Imam. Right? Miqdad bin Aswad, Abu Talha Ansari were instructed, radiallahu anhu, they were instructed to watch over the proceedings. Right? And he said to them, do not let the fourth day come without y'all having a khalif to rule over you. How important it is to have a khalifa. Now years and years are gone, hundreds of years, and we don't have a khalifa. And then Umar radiallahu anhu issued instructions that no one must go against this group. Whatever they decide, that must be executed and acted upon. Nobody must cause divisions. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu advised them that Abdullah bin Umar should be present with them in the gathering. But he mustn't have any say in the matter. But he told them, if three men, because now there are six, right? They are an even number. If three men approve of one, and three approve of another, then Abdullah bin Umar must be given the choice to join any one of the two groups. So now it will be four of them choosing the one. Right? And these six people that are chosen, they must choose a khalif from amongst them, not choose a khalif from outside. So the six that he chose, all of them could have become the khalifa, but he left it to them to make the mashwara, and they must choose a khalif from amongst them. What a beautiful system. Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah ta'ala inspired him, right? So there are many, many lessons to take from here. But one of the main things is that mashwara must be made, you know. Anything you do, make mashwara. Have an amir. Let the amir's decision be final. And once a decision is made, nobody must have problems. Accept it. There'll be barkat in there. There'll be barkat in there, you know? The other thing we learn is that this democratic system of choosing a leader where anyone and everyone, all and sundry, are allowed to vote. And the one who gets the most votes, that person is then elected. So this is a very foolish system. Because generally, the masses, they don't have the capacity to realize who must be the leader. They just get emotionally swayed. They get, most people are gullible, they're naive. People go on the road, you know, when they are trying to get votes, you know. They're campaigning for votes, so they go to the rural area. No, we'll build houses for you all, we'll give you electricity, we'll do this, we'll do that. They don't deliver anything. Then after that, when we get riots and people are burning tires on the roads, and now we say, look at these people, they're acting like junglis. It's not they're acting like junglis, it's the rulers. The rulers went and lied to them. We're going to give you this, give you that, give you that. Now they're waiting for delivery. Now they're not getting it. Now they're so upset that we put our vote. The man told us they're going to give us this. Now they're not doing it. Now how else is their voice going to be heard? So they say, best thing, let's go close the road. Go burn tires. Let's go cause a riot. Let's go do this, go do that. I'm not saying it's the right thing. But that's why the whole system is flawed. But this system of Umar radiallahu anhu, beautiful system. So one was a system of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that just give an indication and leave it. One was a system of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, choose the Khalif. And one was a system of Umar radiallahu anhu. Any one of them are fine. Khair, we'll stop there. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته